That was War and Pierce with Mercy. Of course, that's Sonny War and Chris Pierce. You also heard from Leo Nocentelli here on 104.3, 104.7 KHUM, cutting Eureka Arcata, streaming online at khum.com. It is 3 o'clock, and normally we talk about good times made possible by Revolution Bikes and Coldwell Banker Sellers Realty. And today we're talking about great times because I have got Chris Pierce on the line with me. You just heard him along with Sonny War. And Chris, you're actually coming to town. You're playing at the Old Steeple on March 30th. Welcome to KHUM.
Thank you, Greta. Really wonderful to be with you and great to be with your listeners today. Really looking forward to the show on Saturday the 30th.
Yeah.
I've never been to the Old Steeple, and it looks amazing.
Awesome. So you've never been through Humboldt?
Well, I've been through. I actually have some family there. But I'm looking forward to catching up with them as well.
Oh, nice.
But I've never played a proper show there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you know, I think Sonny War just played the old Steeple not too long ago. And I think, I'm sure, you guys are like old friends. So I'm sure you've seen or heard her talk about it. It's such a great, intimate venue. And, being out in the trees is always such a treat.
Yeah, Sonny and I had a couple shows. We actually did a tour together early in the year, and I saw her a couple weeks ago near Boston for a show we did. And she was really excited about me checking out the Old Steeple. Definitely talked it up.
Nice, right on. Well, we look forward to having you, and I really appreciate you taking the time today. Are you originally from Southern California? Is that what I read?
I am born in Pasadena. Was there till kind of grade school age, and then moved out to a little town called Claremont, and then was there until college, and then ended up getting a scholarship to go to USC on the Ella Fitzgerald scholarship. I studied jazz there, and I've just been at it ever since.
Well, and you knew from a young age that you wanted to pursue music, correct?
Yeah, you know, singing especially has always just been this thing for me, just a place of refuge and just this unexplainable, just the ultimate way of expression. And I've always felt that for as long as I can remember, singing. And then that naturally kind of moved into songwriting and learning different instruments. And it's just something that at this point, at 50, it's just part of my day. It's like drinking a glass of water or taking a deep breath. I have to make some music every day. It's just part of what I do.
Right. Well, and you know, you talk about it being a refuge. I mean, you suffered hearing loss at a young age. I think 15 is what I read.
Yeah. I was kind of really rapidly started losing my hearing, and then I was diagnosed with this condition called otosclerosis, which is basically the deformation in the Stapes bone of the inner ear. And so I was really freaked out, and my soul was in crisis, and music was this thing I had always kind of imagined myself doing up until that time. And so then I was able to have this get diagnosed and then have this surgery called a stapedectomy, which basically they go in and they take your Stapes bone out. They replace it with this little prosthetic Stapes bone, and I actually gained about 60-70% of my hearing back. Over the years, that was in my right ear, and I never got my left ear. Got the surgery on my left ear until about 5 years ago. I tried it, and it didn't work. So I've been just kind of moving through it with about 60-70% in my right ear, and it's like one of these things that, if there's anything that's going to test a musician's love for music, it's losing your hearing. And for me, the good fight has been completely worth it. And I kind of feel like what I don't hear makes me even listen more and communicate in a different way. So I'm thankful for it.
Well, and you seem to have, I mean, you do not have any trouble with, you know, hitting those notes, holding those notes. I mean, you never, like, I would never have guessed listening to you sing, watching you perform, that you you don't know where you are on the scale. And so there's got to be this extra sense, whether it's vibrational quality within your being or, you know, just the way that you are able to hold. I mean, I'm really amazed at how talented you are, but also knowing that you still have a loss of hearing. I mean, you just have such beautiful tone. And I mean, I didn't even know that that was possible.
Well, thank you. You know, I feel like, you know, it's like I said, it's been a fight, and I feel like it's been a good fight. And it's really allowed me to practice and demonstrate vulnerability. Mm-hmm. I feel like I get to do it every time I go on stage and, you know, and sing strong and sing cheerful. Even when the shadows of the light feel like they're falling upon me, I just keep looking up. And that's, I think, is a good way of living, and I'm thankful for that perspective. As far as tone goes and that kind of thing, yeah, I think it really, it forces me to lean in, and it's forced me to lean in throughout the years and really not just listen with my ears, listen to the vibrations and feel the tones, feel where I'm supposed to be as far as the soundscape goes. And yeah, like I said, I can't say it enough. I'm thankful for the gift of having to go through that. Wow. Because I feel like it's really given me a chance to really embrace, you know, the authenticity of who I am. Right. and be proud of that.
Well, and what an inspiration to people, because I think, you know, being a musician, it's not an easy path to take anyway. And so if you have, you know, something like that, that just seems like, well, there's just no way. I mean, you know, it's like such a huge part of music is having 100% ability to hear and to just hear your positivity, like, well, I'm turning this around and going to do with it what I will, because it speaks through me. And I got to go with it, you know, so that's really, really, really incredible. Well, and you sing so much. I mean, you know, we just heard Mercy from War and Peace. And, you know, you sing so often about these really difficult subjects. And I'm curious how often, I mean, does the music industry support you doing that?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. I feel like parts of, you know, there's champions of continuing the fight for justice and equality, mm-hmm. for the marginalized in the music business. I feel like probably in my experience, that's few and far between, but I feel like it's just important to find those folks and stay close to them. The folks that will lift those kinds of messages up, mm-hmm. You know, messages of resilience and empowerment and folks that are okay with you reminding those who have been oppressed to never give up the fight. I feel like they're out there, and I feel very blessed to have run across some incredible champions of what I do, what I write about, and give my music a chance to get out there for folks to hear and dissect and discuss, and offer suggestions of ways to speak up and move together and, you know, be together as human beings. And I feel like that's what it's all about.
Well, and I think especially with music, because it does reach everywhere. I mean, it really does not matter where you're from, what you look like, what you got going on,
right.
But music speaks. And I think, you know, your songwriting, you really address difficult issues head on, but you also have these sort of beautiful, soulful love songs. I mean, what do you kind of prefer writing more social justice stuff, or are you, you know, do you have to kind of force yourself to do what you think is right after writing a bunch of love songs?
Well, no, I just really write what's in my heart and write, you know, the things that I feel like ways that I can be empathetic and compassionate and demonstrate vulnerability. And sometimes that means a love song. And singing about an unrequited love that I have to sing about.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes that means singing about loss. I wrote a song the day my father passed away 20, almost 25 years ago, about loss and about his life. And sometimes that means, for me, talking about and kind of pointing a blistering lens at some of the things I feel like need to change. And I feel like we're all affected by so much all the time. It can be, what's the word? It can bring up serious trauma writing some of these songs and bringing some of these things up. But I feel like if we do it in kind of doses, which is what I do, you can get through it and speak about things in a way that is not only healing to yourself, but healing to others, mm-hmm. and offers a perspective that folks may have not thought of, which is, I guess, what music's all about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you were kind of discovered by Seal, right? At a house party. Will you tell me that story?
Yeah, that was almost 20 years ago. I was singing at a little house party in Hollywood, and Seal was there, about 15 people, and and he had a big smile on his face. And I left that night. I remember talking about his tour that night and just saying hello. And then I stopped by my favorite taco stand on the way home. And then I remember my manager at the time calling and saying, Seal wants you to open up for his world tour. And so I got to go on the road with him and do four legs of this incredible tour, two legs in Europe and two legs in the U.S., and I just learned so much on that tour, again, 20 years ago. And that led to me feeling confident enough to go out and open up for other people.
Wow.
Over the years.
God, did that blow your mind?
It did. It did. It really did. And, you know, Seal is not only an incredible singer, but I'm sure everybody can tell he's just an incredible human, and so giving, so kind. It was really, really what put a huge spotlight on my music and what I was singing about when I was young. I mean, I was in my late 20s when I did that tour.
Mm-hmm.
But it was incredible.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and last year you toured with Neil Young. What was that like?
The same but different, you know. It's like kind of like, some of these tours, you know, if when you're opening for a big act like that, like, you know, Neil Young is a household name, and you kind of feel like, at least I kind of felt like at first I was kind of holding my breath and kind of, is this really happening, you know? And then I met, as soon as the first show going in, meeting his folks, his crew, some of his family, everybody was just incredibly warm and open and welcoming. And that was, for me, kind of how the whole tour felt. Felt like I was just out with a big, incredible family that works incredibly well together and wanted me there and wanted me sitting at the table. And that meant so much to me. And that includes the folks that were in the audience. Folks were really listening, and I felt like a lot of folks were really taking in some of the songs and messages. And it really, you know, it brings me to tears just talking about it. It really means the world to folks that are out there like myself, writing songs and just trying to get things out there and that kind of thing. It's just an incredible experience. I can't say enough about it. And, you know, it's something I'll always remember. I got to spend my 50th birthday out on the road opening for Neil Young. How about that for affirmation, huh?
Wow. I mean, that's just, yeah, what an incredible journey. And that is the magic, you know, when you're on stage and you can tell, you can feel how with you the audience is. And it doesn't happen all the time, but those moments, I mean, there is something truly, truly magical. And you have a blues opera that you wrote, and I was watching your reel, and I think it's, It's not often that someone who is just a musician, I don't want to say just, but meaning that, you know, a lot of people are like, I'm going to be an actor and a musician and a dancer, you know, the triple threat thing. But, you know, to choose the life of music and to watch you, you know, doing this reel with your blues opera, you have that like actor sensibility and the stage presence and this ability, it seems, to connect with an audience that is not all that common, I don't think. And so that's got to be really magical, not only for you, but for the audience.
Wow. Thank you, Greta. I really appreciate that. You know, I have the honor and blessing to live with and be married to one of the greatest actors in the world, and that's my wife, Tara. And I've gotten to really be around her and see what she dedicates every opportunity she has, whether it's stage or TV or film. And I've really gotten more into watching some of the greats because I've around one of the greats and really studying. So that means a lot to me that you said that. And the blues opera to me is something that I really hope to get back off the ground. It kind of, you know, like everything, it kind of came to a halt right when we were getting it up around 2000. But it's still there. And to me, it's a timeless piece. And I hope to, if I can't do it, you know, I hope it's one of those pieces that other people can do. But my plan is to get it up again at some point and put it out there and see what happens.
Oh, cool. Well, I hope you do. And I hope you bring it to Humboldt because it's, it really is very, really interesting. And it's Reverend Talltree, right? It's a character that you've created and also the name of one of your other bands.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Reverend Talltree. And that was kind of a nickname that an elder gave me when I was young, and I just kind of went with it.
Wow. How cool. Yeah. Right on.
Yeah. Talltree was the nickname.
Okay. So you must, are you tall? Yeah.
I'm very tall, 6'5", and I am an ordained minister, so I've done about 35 weddings to date.
Oh, man.
So that's where the Reverend came from.
Oh, man. Well, and you also have a wine label.
Yeah. I started doing a wine with my good friend Jeff Whitman, who lives in Napa. We started that in around 2005. Our first release was 2006, and we did it all the way up to 2020, and then we gave it a break, and we're thinking about hopefully getting it back going again here in the next year or two.
Wow, you are a man of many talents, Chris Pierce.
I surround myself with the things I love, you know?
And that's inspirational. I mean, that's what I think we all should be doing, you know? I mean, how much happier would the world be if we could truly just kind of let go and embrace what we loved? So thank you for doing that and bringing it here to us at on K-Hum, and also coming to the Old Steeple March 30th. So because you've got family in town, are you going to get to spend some time? Are you just kind of swinging through?
Yeah, I carved out a little time, and so did they.
Nice.
So we could spend a little time together. So I'm really looking forward to that, and they'll be at the show as well.
Okay.
So I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Great. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time today. I'm going to ask you one more question. This is a silly question, but I like to ask it. Are you a cat or a dog person?
Well, funny story. Do you have 30 seconds?
Oh yeah.
I had cats growing up. Love cats. I actually had a cat follow me home one time, from a village in Claremont, home. And we ended up keeping the cat. When I was 28 years old, I became allergic to cats, and, I still love cats, and they still follow me around the neighborhood. Every time I take my dog out, the cats will follow us. And so I'd say I'd say I'm a cat person, or I'm a dog person that loves cats, but just can't be around cats.
you've got a cat soul. Yep. Oh my gosh.
I do. Yes.
I love it. Right on. Well, thank you so much, Chris Pierce. And we really look forward to having you up here in Humboldt again, coming to the Old Steeple in Ferndale, March 30th. Now I do need to take a break, but I was going to play American Silence because I feel like it's a really important song for everyone to hear. Do you have a favorite song that you have written? I mean, what is your favorite one to either play or that, you know, you feel like is the most important message? I mean, that's hard, I know, but.
I don't have a favorite, but American Silence, I'd love that you're going to play that. And I wrote that because I feel like it's important to not give up. I'm reaching up to people who have, you know, stayed silent for too long. It's basically about complacency. And I wrote that after reading James Baldwin, a quote where he said that I love America probably more than any country on the planet, which is why I reserve the right to criticize her perpetually. And I thought that was really something. And I wrote it basically about saying, if you applaud for those that are different than you, be willing to fight for those folks too. And the complacency is an addiction that plagues our society. Yeah. So don't do it.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It can be better. Yep. Through a lot of work. Good. Okay. Well, thank you. I'm just going to leave it right there, go to break, and we're going to hear American Silence after these words. Thank you again, Chris Pierce. And I will give away a pair of tickets in just a moment. This is KHUM.
Thank you, Greta.